Morning.
Morning.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
You hear me in the back?
Yes.
All right, good. Got to make sure that you can. Well, we'll see. I might yell a little bit, Jim. Okay, I'll do my best here. It is good to be with you. Happy Father's Day. We're going to pray a prayer of blessing over you fathers at the end of our service. So, happy Father's Day. It's good to be with you. Isn't it awesome to be outside? I love being out. This is awesome. I feel a little like Jesus, though I am not him, for sure. Okay? So, have you ever encountered a need for power? I would like to hear, where have you encountered a need for power? This is not a rhetorical question. So where have you encountered it? A need for power?
Electricity?
Whatever. However you want, Stephanie, just
when
whatever.
It's hot, with the air conditioning.
The air conditioning, yes. When it is hot, you need the power for the air conditioning. Where else have you encountered a need for power?
Lifting weights.
Lifting weights, yes. Yeah, there we go. Human power.
Jump-starting
it when your car is dead and you can't go anywhere? Absolutely. Where else? Where have you had a need for power?
When the power's out.
Yeah, that's a good answer. Yeah. How many of you were here years ago when the whole Eastern Seaboard went out? Yeah, okay. There was a time when the whole thing went out. Yeah, I remember that. That was a little freaky. Anybody else? Need for power? Parenting, yes. Yes, that's a different kind of power. But it is very well needed. One of the times that I encountered a need for power was on a trip to Virginia Beach to visit leadership training. Okay, leadership training is for some of us, well, not for some of us, but it is our college summer program to develop leaders. And right now we actually have people in upstate New York who are at LT. So it's been going on, and if you've never been, we would invite you to come at some point. Next summer it'll be going on, so wanted to plug that a little bit. But my wife and my kids were on our way to leadership training, and we decided that it would be fun to pull a 35-foot trailer through the Appalachian Mountains. We thought, how awesome would this be to put a trailer right on the beach, and like I could teach, the kids could play. It was awesome. And the issue is that we were pulling it with an Econoline van, okay, which it said it had the power it needed, but as we were ascending the mountain, the Appalachian, it didn't feel like it, okay? It felt like, you know, when you're driving a car, it just hugs the road and you're like, cool? This felt like I was driving a boat, okay? So it was doing this while we're going up the mountain. And let me just say, I gripped firmly on the wheel. And I was like, I'm hoping we make this. I'm hoping. It says it, but it was a little nerve-wracking. In fact, we pulled over in a rest stop, and it was time for Carol to take her turn driving. She made it about 500 feet and said, this is not good, and pulled over, and I jumped in. So, you know, it was a little nerve-wracking. We needed more power. Many of us live our life in the Christian life like that ascent up the Appalachian Mountains, right? Wondering, do we have the power that we need? Gripping a hold, hoping we don't fall off the edge, right? Am I going to make it to the top? We wonder. This is the second week on our series on the Holy Spirit. And the third person of our triune God, Jehovah, Yahweh. And last week, Kyle talked about the presence of the Holy Spirit, that he is in each one of us who have their faith in Christ, and he is with us as a community. So he's in us and with us, the presence. Jesus said to his disciples in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Today we're going to talk about the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a provision of power for his people. Do you believe that? Yeah, it is. Absolutely. You have been filled. If you know Jesus, if you have placed your faith, you have been filled with the Holy Spirit, empowering you to handle, empowering you with everything you need for a fruitful life. With everything you need for a fruitful life. Really? Yeah. You sure? Absolutely. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you that we can gather together. We thank you we can be out here and we know that you're with us, you hear us. We're not just hanging out. We are in your presence and we're here to worship you and we're here to work, we're here to hear from you. Lord, would you, through your words, empower your people to be the people you've called us to be. Lord, we're listening. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, if you have a Bible or an app or something, you can turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. That's where we're going to be. 2 Peter chapter 1, and then we'll jump into Ephesians 5. So, but first, 2 Peter chapter 1, here we go, verse 3. His divine power has given us everything required for life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. By these, he has given us very great and precious promises, so that through them you may share in the divine nature, escaping the corruption that is in the world because of evil desires. His divine power has given us everything required for life and godliness. This is a brilliant passage. And it's a brilliant passage because the Greeks of the day were consumed, the Greek philosophers were consumed with attaining to the ideal. So the ideal nature. And avoiding corruption. And trying to touch and live out of the divine. And what Peter says to the church, he says, listen, his divine power has given you all you need and you can share in the divine nature. That's crazy. How do we do that? Well, Kyle talked about it last week. When you place your faith in Christ, the Holy Spirit, God, the third person of the Trinity, lives in you. You are filled with the Holy Spirit and you participate in God's nature. It's amazing. It's brilliant. Through the gospel power. Let me ask you this. I want you to think about this again, not a rhetorical question. What areas of life or godliness are you struggling with right now? What areas of life or godliness are you struggling with right now? I want you to take a minute. I want you to close your eyes and I want you to listen to the Holy Spirit. And I want you to consider that question and let the Lord lead you. Bring to mind, what is that area for you? What is it for you? What is it for you? What area is it that you want to stop traveling, pull off to the side of the road, and just give up? What is that area? You can open your eyes and look up here now. I don't want to hinder the Holy Spirit. If he's still talking, then just keep your eyes closed. But let me say this to you, brothers and sisters in Christ, Church of God, you have everything you need for that issue. You have everything you need for that life, that element of godliness, through the power of the Holy Spirit. Do you believe that today? Do you believe it today? You know, it's Father's Day. And, you know, a good father will invite his children into adventure and challenging circumstances, won't he? He will invite them into challenging and adventurous circumstances. But a good father will give them all the tools necessary to accomplish it. Your heavenly Father is a good father. And he is inviting you into adventure and challenging circumstances, but he has given you everything you need for life and godliness. That is the promise to the church. Now, don't get me wrong. I am not saying that in the Holy Spirit, you sitting there, that he has made you utterly and completely self-sufficient, in no need of anybody else. In fact, the Holy Spirit brings us together as a church body, and at times will lead his people to provide for one another. That's why it's important that we as a church gather together, and that it's important for us to join in the rhythms of the community, is because through one another, we provide for one another through the Holy Spirit. So we're not utterly alone in this. You have been filled with the Holy Spirit, empowering you to lead a fruitful life. Francis Chan, in his book Forgotten God, says this: I don't want my life to be explained without the Holy Spirit. I want people to look at my life and know that I couldn't be doing this by my own power. You want that? I want that. When we individually and corporately trust in the power of the Holy Spirit, miraculous things can and do happen. Miraculous things can and do happen. In this church, I have seen people healed from a death sentence. I've seen it. In this church, I have seen the Lord provide miraculously out of nowhere at the last minute. In this church, I have seen some of you come to the elders and minister of the church with a vision or a dream or a thought that was exactly what we needed at the time. The miraculous. God, when we trust in the Holy Spirit, the miraculous can and does happen. Now, sometimes the miraculous power of the Holy Spirit may look a little different. Sometimes it looks like joy and perseverance in difficulty, right? Sometimes it looks like the strength to bless those who are your enemies and not curse. Sometimes it's forgiving someone who has sinned against you and harmed you. Sometimes it's courage to face the difficult things that you're facing. And sometimes it's just getting up after failure. The power of the Holy Spirit, the miraculous, happens. You may be saying, yeah, that's great, Rick. I don't feel very powerful. I don't feel very powerful. We're gonna talk about that a little bit. Let me point you to an old book. This is old, really old. It was written in 1992. Charles Stanley wrote a book called The Wonderful Spirit-Filled Life, and I would highly recommend it in this topic. It's fantastic. And in it, he points out he has some good insights out of Ephesians 5 that will help us as we discuss, man, I don't feel powerful, okay? So in your Bible, you can flip to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, or in your app, okay? We're going there, Ephesians 5. Verse 18, it says, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Is that right? Debauchery, debauchery?
Debauchery.
Debauchery, all right. I always want to say debauchery. Debauchery, great. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. All right? So on the surface, if you look at this passage, it can say, don't get drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. It can go, well, instead of drinking this, I'm supposed to drink this, right? And I'm going, how do I get more of the Spirit? Like, how do I slurp that down, right? Like, if I'm not supposed to drink this, how am I? Okay, that's not what that's saying, okay? If you look at the context and you look at the way it's worded in the Greek, and we're not going to go into that, I'm saving you all that. The implication is not that you're getting more of the Spirit, it's more the sense of you're letting the Spirit control you in the same way that when you are drunk, that element controls you. Follow me? So Malcolm Gladwell, anybody heard of Malcolm Gladwell? Love this guy. And his podcast is what? Revisionist History, right? That's the name of it. So he did a podcast a while ago that I was listening to. And it was actually on the assault problem on college campuses, okay? And what the research shows is that the overwhelming situations when we're talking about assault on college campuses, alcohol is involved, overwhelmingly. And if you look at it and doing some of the research into it, we tend to think in terms of alcohol being, well, it's a social lubricant, right? Kind of, you know, helps me relax a little bit, which there's some truth to that. But as you drink more, what the research shows is the part of your brain that actually considers consequences, that actually considers the future, begins to shut down, okay? So the more you drink, the more alcohol you consume, and when you're drunk, that part of your brain is turned off. to the point that what is driving you is your current desires now without any consideration for future consequences. Make sense? So what is driving you in that moment? Why does it lead to debauchery? Because we're not thinking about the consequences of the future. So in contrast to that, man of God, woman of God, be filled with the Spirit, which means let the Spirit that is in you already, already filled in you, control you, drive you, motivate you. Amen? All right. So what do you do? Oh, let me just say this. Listen, you may have all the power in the world. I may have been pulling that trailer with a Ford F-350. But if I fill the gas tank with Jell-O, it's not going anywhere. Right? So we need to let the right things control us and fill us up. So I just want to give you two things, just two practicals. Living, we're going to talk about being filled with the Spirit in the fourth part of this series. I'm going to give you just two things to think about. How do I live in the power of the Spirit? Here's the first one. You can flip over to Colossians if you'd like. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. Colossians 3, verse 16. This will sound very familiar, okay? This is the Apostle Paul. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, okay? Teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Listen, this is like parallel, right? It's the almost exact verse. One says, be filled with the Spirit. The other says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. So one of the most profound things about walking in the power of the Spirit is letting God's truth fill you, right? It is knowing the truth of God, drinking it in, understanding it, and letting that be your motivation. Amen? All right, here's what I want you to do. I want you to close your eyes, and I want you to ask the Holy Spirit, ask the Lord to call to mind, is there a scripture? Is there a thought that I could meditate on that deals with the issue that I brought, that he called to mind this morning in terms of struggling with life and godliness? Is there a scripture that he would have for you? And one of the nice things about being together is sometimes the Lord will speak to you about someone else. Maybe he's going to bring to mind a scripture that, or a thought, or an encouragement that he would have you offer to someone here. So just take a minute. Let's listen to the Holy Spirit. It is good that he's here. It is good that we're not alone. It is good that he has sent his Spirit to live with us. And we can know that his word lives in us in the power of the Holy Spirit. And he can call to mind what we need. My prayer for you is you would let those things control you and motivate you in this. Here's the second thing I wanted. So the first is let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Eat it, drink it, take it in. Here's the second thing. Sometimes when we're traveling down the road and we have this power, but we don't know where we're going. We don't know how to use it. So we're just pulled off the side of the road and we're just sitting there going, I don't know where I'm going. I don't even know how to use it. Let's go 1 Corinthians 12, 7 to 11. 1 Corinthians 12, 7, verse 11. Sure. Verse 7. Now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To each one, to each believer, to each person of God, the Spirit, a manifestation of the Spirit has been given for the common good. To one there's given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, to another a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another the interpretation of tongues. All these are the works of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. The Holy Spirit is a he, right? It's a person. It, he's a person. And he has given you, if you know Jesus, a gift of the Spirit for the common good. Common good is the church of God. Sometimes you don't know what to do with this, right? And I can tell you this. If you step out in faith to serve God's kingdom with the gifts that you have, you will see the power of God. Because God is at work to build his kingdom. And so some of us, we just got to stand up and serve. We got to stand up and lead. We got to stand up and say something. And you will see the power of God in your life. Listen, we as the pastors and ministers at New Life, we've been talking about the gifts of the Spirit for about a year and a half. And we've been working our way through it. There's more to come here. We want you all to bless the body and the kingdom of God through your gifts. And there is more coming. But please, do not wait for us. Okay? Do not wait for us. Stand up and start working and moving out in faith and see what God will do. Being filled with the Spirit, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, and standing up to use the gifts that God has given you for the common good. Sound good? Listen, Jesus traveled up a mountain as well. He traveled up to a mountain the night before he was put to death. He went up the Mount of Olives, and he got to the top, and at that top he prayed, "Lord, if this cup can pass me by, let it pass me by." So he's been in the spot where the Heavenly Father has invited him to something challenging, right? To something that may have been overwhelming. But Jesus yielded himself to the power of the Spirit, and he walked that path. And the result was that he was crucified, and 3 days later, the Spirit rose him up and conquered death. And because of that, he has made a way for you and for me and for all who place their faith in him to have that same Spirit and to live eternally. Listen, each of our journeys in this place is going to come to an end. Each road is going to come to an end at some point on this life. And for those who know Jesus and place their faith in him, they will cross over and they will see the bridge from this life into the presence of the living God. For those who don't, there is no bridge. And they will spend it without him. And that is the truth of the gospel. So people of God, would you embrace the power of the Spirit in your life, that those who are traveling on the wrong road might get on the same road with us? Sound good?
Yeah.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you that you have told us, you've given us everything we need for life and godliness. And Father, we sometimes don't feel that way, but we want to walk where you've taken us. You have rescued us. So bless this body of believers. Bless them. Strengthen them in your Spirit. We don't want lives that only we can manufacture. We want the life that you have for us. So speak to us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.